you as the one and only God, Lord, that you are just awesome. And we just stand in awe of your faithfulness, Lord, and your love for us, Lord, that if we look at our own lives, we say, Lord, but this is not justified. We do not deserve your love. What we deserve is your judgment, Lord, but you've just turned it around for us through the cross. You've just looked at us and it's just love radiating from to us, Lord. And we just, this morning, just want to say thank you, Lord. We just want to accept this. And Lord, we just want to just honor you and praise you for the privilege to be in your house, Lord, that to know that we are the anointed. We are the chosen ones, Lord. And we can sit in your presence and we can just bask in your mercy and your glory for us, Lord. And at the end of the day, all the honor and all the glory come to you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will just work with each one of us, Lord. Give us a fresh revelation this morning, Lord. Give us a fresh revelation of who we are, Lord. That it's almost like a father picking up his child and putting it on his lap. And that's where you want us this morning, on your lap, Lord, that we can hear your heartbeat. And we just thank you for being in a position that we can realize this and say, Lord, it's not because of what we've done. It's because of you coming down to our level and just holding us in your arms. And we just thank you for that. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We still need to do the offering, but I think seeing that I'm doing that as well, if the ushers can just get themselves ready and if we can just do this quickly so we can get into this word. But I want to start off with just two scriptures. And this one is, as you would have heard this many, many times before, but I'd like you just to focus on a few things different this morning. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first and best part of your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine." And, you know, a lot of times we look at this and say, the reason why we do this is to get the benefit for ourselves. Because the last part of it, but it's not about that. Because if we read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 11, it said, "God gives seed to the farmer and food for those who need to eat. God will give you seed and multiply it. In your lives, he will increase the things you do that with his approval. God will make you rich enough so that you can always be generous. Your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God because of us." That is why we need to understand. If we tithe, and I don't want to put a condition on this, but if we tithe solely to say, God will look after me and he will bless me, he will do that. But there is so much more in store. If we tithe and say, God, what I give now is seed because I want to receive more seed to plow back into others. That just opens a new dimension. So I really want to urge you guys, whenever you look at tithing, don't look at tithing in terms of God has already made the promise. He will look after you. Whether you tithe or not, he's going to do that. But if you want to become part of the blessing, to say, God, change my heart. Make me generous. Make me instrumental in bringing, facilitating the word being spread. That's a new dimension. So look at tithing that way. Okay. It's hot today, huh? I just ask, bear with me, and we ask the Holy Spirit to take down the heat a bit, and let's just focus. Let's just pray. Our Father, we just want to thank you for being in a position, Lord, that we can bring our best to you, Lord. And we know that it's not that you know that you need our best, because all the riches, the cattle on 1,000 hills, that's yours in any event, Lord. But you've given us this word to bless us, Lord, so that we can look at you in a different way, that we will know that you will always provide for us, but not only provide in terms of what we need, Lord. You will bless us in your generosity, that we will be able to give and sow to others, because that's what we want to give. Is we want to seed. We don't want to sow the seed, Lord. And I just pray that this seed that's been harvested, Lord, will just go forth and multiply, Lord. And the things that you destined for this money will just be fruitful, Lord. And that the crop will be good. And Lord, we declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Oh, this is the best part. Thanks, Matthew. Okay. I think God has put this word on my heart. Maybe because a lot of these things are things that I'm facing at the moment. Who would want to know the future? Be honest. Who would want to know the future? This is where it started, and I thought, yeah, God, I would want to know the future. And then he said, but what about the future would you want to know? Because if you say, you know, say for instance you're single, and you say, God, will I marry? Will I find a partner? And he says yes. You say, well, that's great. And then you say, God, maybe if you're a student, and say, God, will I pass my studies? And if he says yes, that is even better. Then, you know, maybe for those that are not going to study, or maybe just finish school and go look for a job, he said, God, will I find a job? And he says, yes. You say, God, will I have money one day? He says, yes. And you think, well, that's it. That's great. But then I thought about this, and I said, is that really great? Because none of those things will tell you whether you're happy. None of those things will tell you whether you have peace in your heart. Because I know many people that are extremely wealthy, but desperately unhappy. I know many people that are married, and they can't stand the sight of each other. And they find things to keep themselves occupied. I find many people that have jobs. And you look at them, and you just look at their faces as they enter that building in the morning. You say, this is wrong. You shouldn't look like this if you have a job. And yet there are so many people looking for jobs. And that is where I come from. Is listen what God says about the future. He says you will be okay. You will be victorious. And that is the real thing to be excited about. It's not whether you will find a happy partner. It's, God, will I be there where you want me to be? Because that is what is important. And to me, this was really a revelation, because, you know, where we're going, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I might, in 2 months' time, I might be out of here. With a very real possibility of being out here, finding something else to do. But to me, that was the concern. Say, God, can I keep my job? Or will this happen? But then I came to realize, but that's not really what it's about. Because I can keep my job, but still be so unfulfilled that I really become a pain to myself and the people around me. And so this is, you know, this is where I want to go with this message. So let's hear what God says. Because that is, and to me, this is, honestly, this message is for each one of you. And we can cut it short. And we can say amen now, and I'm dead serious, and we can go. Or you can say, because this whole thing boils down to, it's an attitude change. And this is really what I trust the Holy Spirit, is to open your eyes and see what you have access to. And if we don't take it, it would honestly just be our own fault, because nothing, and this is what I'm saying, the words here is not, I can never do justice what God showed me. I can only pray that the Holy Spirit deposits the seed in your mind. God says in Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 4, he says, expand the space of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your tent. And don't hold back. Don't hold back. What you do, go full out. If God has given you birth something in your, go for it. Don't do it half measures. Don't, you know, if he says walk on water, it's you know, if I know it's very deep, but it's not, is this going to hold me? It's go for it. This is what God said. Don't hold back. Lengthen your tent ropes and drive in the tent pegs. You will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will take over the nations, and they will resettle deserted cities. Don't be afraid, because you won't be put to shame. Don't be discouraged, because you won't be disgraced. This is, you know, this is what God says about us. And he's not leaving it to us. He's saying your descendants will inhabit the cities that's been desolate. And that is just what God is saying to us this morning. And I honestly believe, we will get to this, but this is what we need to take. If God declares your future will be good, it will be good. Because nothing what God has said in the Word, and nobody will prove you wrong, has ever not happened. If he says, let there be light, there was light. If he says, this will happen, that will happen. So if he says your future will be good, it will be good. But it's for you to accept it. That's the thing. So now we say, well, you know, can we succeed in this endeavor? Let's see what he says in John 10 verse 10. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy love and have it in abundance to overflowing. So God is saying, whatever each one of us are experiencing now, whatever the frustrations we have now, whatever we find to be difficult, there is just so much more for us. And let's take it this morning. Let's not let this opportunity pass without putting up our hand and say, God, this is what I want. This is what I want. And be bold about it. Don't hold back. Again, go for it. If you're trusting for God for a job, don't think it's just going to be a job with minimum wage. It's going to be an exceeding your expectations. Why? Because he wants you to bless others. What John says is, God wants us to have life in abundance. We need to take it and not beg for it, because it's already ours. If it's already yours, you have to take it. You don't ask for it. You say, God, now I take it. This morning, if I trust you for healing, this morning I take it. I don't have to beg, because we're not under law. There's nothing more than what we have to do. We just need to take it. When the devil comes to steal and destroy, even that, and I know a lot of you guys here, the past, you know, I think we all have a history of people that have swindled money out of us, people that have deceived us, people that has hurt us dearly. You know, and a lot of these things come from family and close friends. And I will never be in a position to say to you, I know how you feel. But what we can say is, God, what the devil has stolen from me, I don't just want it back. I want it back with interest. Because that's what we have access to. So I think that's the reason why God has given us in his word. He's given us the characteristics of the devil. And said it will happen. If this was not an issue, God would not have told us what the devil's motive is. So he knows that the devil is going to steal from you. But it's whether you accept it or not. And it's a reality. If somebody is swindled your money or has taken your money, that money is gone. It's gone. Nobody have to argue with it. You just look at your bank account and say, it's gone. But there's no limitation on what God will do next. And if you say, God, I'm claiming this back with interest. If I had a relationship with somebody that was very dear to me, and something terrible happened, or a misunderstanding, or the devil started, putting rumors and lies there, and this whole thing has just crumbled back, and I long to build this relationship again, go to God and say, God, I want this relationship back, but I don't want it back under the old conditions. I want it back with interest. I wanted this relationship to be stronger than ever before. And then trust God for that. In Acts 1 verse 8 it said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Then you will be my witness or testify about it in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Our hope is in what God is telling us. But he's not telling us just for us to be a blessing. God realizes that each one of us have an influence of friends that do not know him. And the friends will see God is alive through you. The friends will see God is alive through what manifests in your life. He says a tree will be known by the fruit it carries. And the Holy Spirit is here for us so we can carry the fruit. So this is, it's vitally important that we start testifying about the goodness of God. Each one of us, I can tell you, each one of you have a story that will make the angels weep in delight if you tell this to the desperate out there. But we don't do it. And it's not, it's not condemnation on us. But we have to realize that we you know, like this, the seed to sow in generosity, we need to sow the testimonies of God in our life. And if I look at each one of you, I see victory. I really do see victory. I mean, the precious people in my home group, you know, I look at them and I say, God, but this is not the same guy that was here a month ago. And I can see it week by week by week as they just get fuller and fuller and fuller of God. And this is the testimony that goes out there. You know, the devil wants to make us self-conscious. And the word says we must become Jesus conscious. And our problems start when we become self-conscious. And the problem in that is, it's things that, unfortunately, it's things that we can relate to. We are the ones that gets hurt in the process. We say to God, God, I don't want a relationship anymore because the last two has been disastrous and my heart is in tatters. So there's no lie in terms of what we're saying. But if we can just change the focus away from ourselves and say, God, if I need to get hurt, but somebody comes out of this process and they know you, that is the attitude that we, and make that self-sacrifice, because God is saying what follows is even better than what you had. We need to, there are a few stumbling blocks in taking this fantastic promise that God has given us. And the first one is fear and frustration. We have fear from the unknown. Can you just imagine how Moses must have felt when God said to him, "There's my people. Go to Pharaoh. You know he knows Pharaoh. He knows that you know the Egyptians have been in this building this kingdom, and I mean they had fantastic mathematicians with them. It was a very very strong community. And yeah, Moses needs to go to Pharaoh and say, God says, let his people go. I mean, I think that puts fear in you. Because, I mean, yeah, you have a king that's known for his brutality, a slave driver of note, and you tell him to let people go. But this is, and I think these are the things that because we don't fully understand God, don't fully trust him, we are fearful of the path that he set before us. And let's make a decision this morning and say, no, if God has said this, he will not let us go into something that is going to harm us. His promise said, you will not be ashamed. You will not be embarrassed. We are fearful of our punishment because we know that unless we make a decision, we know that we fall short in terms of God's standards. If we look at the law, we know that we cannot meet the minimum requirement. And that makes us hesitant. Frustration with repeated failures. You know, repeated failures, there's a lot of things that I can say about it. But say, for instance, let's take an example. And you start with the right heart. You say, God, this morning I'm going to get up and there's somebody at work that just rubbed me up the wrong way. I need to love them more. I need to love them more. I need to love them more. And I will not get angry. I will not get angry. I won't. So on the way to work, you drive and you say, I will not get angry. I will not get angry. And I will not get angry. As you walk into the lift, they look at you and say, oh, you look lovely today. And you think, what is the agenda behind this? There must be something, because they never this nice to me. Immediately, you start questioning their motives. Immediately you say, okay, the next one, I need to get in the next step. And you're back there where you didn't want to be. You know, for instance, if amongst the young men, you say, okay, today I will not lust. I will not lust. I will not lust. That is the decision. And you start your day off with this perception. I will not do this. First thing you get to work is somebody sends you an email with a half-naked woman on. Your whole day is blown because this is exactly not where you didn't want to go. This is the problem. Now, this is the frustration of the past things that we go through day after day after day, and we do not get victory. If we, you know, taxi drivers, you say, I will not lose my temper on the road. You have not even entered, got out of your driveway, and he has a taxi in front of you. And they just stop in the middle of the road, and there's like 16 people getting out of the small car, and it takes forever. Now, immediately, you're blown. That whole day of yours has just gone downhill. Because we start with the right mentality in terms of this is something nice, we want to get this right, but we say, I will not. And this is what God is saying, is this frustration. If we don't realize and say, but it's not about that. It's not about the lust. It's not about the temper. It's not about, because we're dead to sin. The change in attitude is to say, God, thank you that I do not have to be bound by lust. God, thank you that today I do not have to be bound by a temper. Thank you today that I do not have to be bound by questioning this person's motives. That is the difference. So even if they are friendly, even if they are sour towards you, you say to God, it's not about what I can do and what I can't do. I just know that I can revel in your grace. That's the difference in attitude. It's just simple, but we don't do it because the devil comes to steal and destroy and deceive, and he makes you believe you have to make the change. You can't change. 2,000 years have taught us we cannot change, and we for the next 2,000, if it takes that long, we will not change. We need to just accept God and his grace and the fact that he's done everything for us. Not understanding the scriptures and the cross. This morning, we have to understand that when Jesus said, and I've said this before, but I trust that this morning some of us will get this. When he said, you have access to all this, he means we have access to all this. This is really something between you and God. I really trust that this morning you will say to God, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of trying to make sacrifices to please other people, which I know is the right sacrifice, and it's just met with a wrong attitude. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. Say that to God this morning. And say, God, just take that tiredness and give me a different perspective on this thing, to say that I cannot do anything unless you're part of this. And what I would need to overcome this problem I have is through your grace. And that's what I take. And then you will be successful, because the focus on sin won't be there anymore. You will start understanding that God looks at you, and when you do lose your temper, he doesn't see the fact that you've lost your temper, because you in grace. You have the righteousness of Christ. It makes it a different, because the devil is reminding you. The devil is saying to you, you've lost your temper. You're not really a child of God. It's not God reminding you. It's the devil. So he's just doing what God has said he's going to do from the day one. He's deceive you. But we accept it. We'd rather accept the devil's accusations than God's promises. And that's the true sadness of the whole thing. You know, in terms of worries of concerns, how many times has it happened that you phone a friend and you say, I really need to speak to you. I have a huge problem. And you get there and you just start babbling. As you walk in the door, you just start babbling. Man, this guy cannot get a word in edgeways, and you're just talking. And just as you finish, you say, well, thank you for listening. I know exactly what I need to do. And you look at this and say, what, you know, I didn't say a thing. The fact that you've realized what is it that you need to do is really God showing you from day one, this is what you really want to do. So instead of doing that, just take time off and tell God that problem. And just say, God, this is the problem I face. This is the uncertainty I face. Just change this around and give me the answer. And God is faithful. He will do that. You know, and then also not understanding the significance of the cross. We will get there in terms of our faith declaration. But the cross. You know, I look at the cross and I think about the cross, and it's just as if words fail me, because and God has still got so much to teach me and to show me about the cross. But if you really think of it, there is nothing that we are battling here that is not catered for on the cross. Nothing. Not sickness, not disease, not worries, not anxiousness, not provision, nothing on the cross. The cross didn't cover 99% of our needs. It covered 100%. I had a cousin of mine. He says, man, with my luck, if I'm waiting for my ship to come in that day, I'll be at the airport. And this is his attitude. He says, you know, this is, you know, my ship will come in, but I will be somewhere else. And what God is saying to you this morning is, your ship has come in. And you're at the right place. You're right here. Just accept this. Just take it and say, God, thank you. And I might not have the answer now while I'm sitting here. But as I walk out here in victory, when I need to confront that situation tomorrow morning, when I need to face this person later today, I know by that time you will know exactly and give me exactly what I need to say. That is that if you go this and you go and visit a sick relative, go out and say, God, you will go before me in this thing, and you will give me words, whether I pray for healing, whether I pray for encouragement. There's no pressure on you to perform. God, just take that and just take that attitude out here. And you'll be fine. In terms of if you're waiting for a job, if you've put in your CV, say, God, I know that you will sustain me. And when the right time comes, that phone is going to ring. And somebody is going to say, I have a job. But it means you have to prepare a CV. So, you know, it's like this. We've spoken about Reinhard, our friend that has a church there in Katatura. It's about 17 kilometers from where they live to town. And he told his people, he said, look, in our church maybe 95% of people don't have jobs. He said, but honestly, people, you need to hit the tower and you need to hit the road to get to town to get a job. So if you really want a job, you just need to start the process and start walking to town or calling a taxi or do something. Because while you're sitting at your home, it's going to be difficult. And that's all that God wants us. He just wants for us just to realize that we just need to mobilize ourselves in victory. We trust our own abilities and structures. How often, in terms of missing God, how often God is working something out for us, and every day we get involved in this thing and we say, oh, we see where God's plan goes, and like it's like only 3% left, and you say to God, okay, thanks God, now I understand, I'll just do the last 2%. Man, and you never realize that so much can go wrong in 2%. That is, don't take things back that you've given God. Just see Him put this thing to completion in its fullness, because then all the glory will go to Him. The moment you take something back, who are you going to give the glory to? And also people. You know, people will say, well, Francois, I saw God work there, and then I saw you did something. So you know, who would you give the glory to? Because it's not about us. So don't take things back that you've given God. And then the wrong perception about God. I've heard personally in the church people say, but God made them sick to do whatever. Or God caused that accident. How can you say that? If we believe we serve a good God, we say God is good always. God is good. If we honestly say that with conviction, and we believe that God is saying in His Word, you know, as a child asks his father for a fish or bread or whatever, he's not going to give him a stone. If we honestly believe that, how can we ever say God has given them a disease or a sickness? That's not why He came. So let's change this perspective and say no. It is not God. We live in an imperfect world. There's nothing we can do about that. The devil is here, and the devil causes a lot of these things. And that is where the blame lies. But God has also given us the promise to say that irrespective of that happening, I will change the thing around. And that is something that we need to hold dear to us. I saw something about Joseph Prince, and he had an example. If they mine iron ore, if you say, you know, they will mine the iron ore and they will take like a ton of rocks and they will start processing this. Out of this will maybe come a bit of iron. And then the process goes on, and they refine it further, and they refine it, and they temper it, and they heat it up, and they cool it down, they heat it up, and they cool it down, and they work it, and at the end of the day, they make a spring. This is the Joseph Prince example. Now, you think, well, this is just an insignificant watch spring that they make out of this ton of dirt, earth, that they started the process with. But now that spring goes to a Rolex watch, which costs hundreds of thousands of rands. That watch is only as good as that spring functioning. But all of a sudden, the worth of that spring just jumps from here to here, because people will say, but I need the spring for my watch. And this is what God is doing. He's turning what the devil is doing, and it's for us to accept it and say, God, we believe that all things work for the good. All things for the good for those that trust in you. And that's, if something happens, if there's a sickness and a disease in your family, that's inevitable. It's going to happen. Not the sickness and the disease, but God is telling us that, you know, there will be afflictions. We need to grow in terms of who we are, in terms of, you know, for God. Things will happen. People will disappoint us. But it's our choice what we're going to do with that. We can accept it and say life is unfair. And just sit in our puddle and you know, and be depressed about it. And it happens. It happens to each one of us. Or we can say, that's fine, God. This has now happened. But I now call on your promise to say all things work for the good. So, God, I stand here in anticipation for you to change this thing around. That is the difference. That's where the value comes. That's where we excel as Christians. And that's where people would look at us and say, wow, how did you guys come over that cancer scare? How did you come over that job loss? How did you come over that retrenchment? So, no, this is how we come. Because we believe God in his promise to say, there must be something better. It's awesome, huh? That's it. Amen. We also give the devil credit for a lot of things that shouldn't be due to him. You know, I know that each one of you, if I would give each one of you the microphone and say, what does God say to you? I know in my heart each one of you would have a message, but not each one of you would say that. Because the first thing the devil would say is, how do you know that was of God? Yeah? You see it in the cell meeting. God gives these people earth-moving revelation. And the devil can take that fantastic thought and he can just dwindle it down to something that they're unsure about, and then they just keep quiet. And that's the devil, that's how he works. But think, just ask yourself one thing. If God gives me a revelation and he says to you, go and tell that person I love them, or go and tell that person, don't be afraid. Would the devil do that to build that person up? That's not the devil's nature. The devil is here to kill and destroy. So, it must be God saying that. If I'm going to say to Warrior, if God gives me a word for Warrior and say, Warrior, God is pleased with what you're doing. The devil is not going to give me that word for Warrior. Because what's going to happen? Warrior's going to be encouraged. He's going to be built up. And he's going to have the boldness of a lion to face the next challenge. And the devil is saying, man, that wasn't planned. And that's exactly what's happening here. God is giving us revelation. God is giving us discernment. God is giving us words of encouragement. But we don't use it because we give the devil the credit of saying, devil, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe I would look like the fool. Never. That's a lie of the devil. Don't take that. Just be faithful, and even if you have a word that you don't understand yourself, just step in and say, God, I trust you that this word, you know, I know a lot of these things in, in 35 degrees heat outside. I look at a lot of these things and say, God, but are you sure people wanted to hear this? But I have to accept God saying, there is somebody that this message is going to mean something to. And I have to just, I just have to be faithful in that. I don't have to understand your circumstances. I just need to be obedient to God. Then forgiveness. In Ephesians 4 verse 32 it says, be kind to each other. Forgive each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. Forgiveness is most probably the most difficult thing to handle. And why? It's because very often forgiveness starts with us. Because we are the person that was hurt. We are the person that are the recipient of something that we just know is completely wrong. And we say, no, no, this doesn't happen like this. I will fight for this. And you roll up your sleeves and you say, I will get you for this. And honestly, if we need to get past this, I know that there are people in this church that battle with forgiveness. And this is truly something that I cannot say, I know how you feel. But what I do know is we can forgive because God forgave us. And His forgiveness came first. His forgiveness came unconditionally. He said, I forgive you forever. Can you imagine the creator of the universe being ridiculed on a cross? People spat at him. I mean, just think about this. The most fantastic thing that's been created out there, something that even scientists do not have an answer for. For God, it's a no-brainer, as they say. And yeah, some buffoon comes and he spits on God, on his son. And God said, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. But for Jesus, it must have been terrible to say, but I'm the Son of God, and people do not realize what I give to them. And here we come with our issues, and we say, no, we will never forgive. So let's really just trust God. And it's not something that will happen. It's not something that will happen instantaneous. It starts with a decision. Say, God, give me the grace and to make a decision and say, I will forgive. If we do not forgive through love, we cannot really forgive. Because without love, there will always remain bitterness. You know, some people talk about we can forgive, but we will never forget. God never asked us to forget. He asked us to forgive. So a lot of people link the two and they say, well, God, because I didn't forget this, maybe I haven't forgiven this guy or this person. Just make a decision. Say, God, you said we can forgive through your grace and through your power. And that is what I stand. And make a decision to forgive. And over time, it will come in. The forgiveness is something that you decide, but the emotion in your heart is going to take time to work it through. Okay, then just in closing, listen to what God says about you people. He says, Revelations 1 verse 5 to 6, he said, and from Jesus Christ, the witness, the trustworthy one, the first to come back to life, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, glory and power forever and ever belong to the one who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us kingdom priests. We are priests. And I know that you don't sometimes feel like a priest or a priestess, but we are priests. It says in Hebrews 7 verse 17, it says, the scripture says the following about him. You are a priest forever in the way Melchizedek was a priest. Now the reason why I'm telling you you're priests is because in Leviticus it says, the priest will determine what is the value. The value will be whatever the priest decides. And this is the crux. What you decide for yourself in terms of being a priest, is what it will be. If you decide I'm going to live in victory, you will live in victory. If you decide I'm going to have a breakthrough in terms of the promises that God made, you will have it. It says here in Leviticus. I don't say it. God says it. If you decide this relationship will be mended, it will be mended. If you decide that I will make a success of my job, it'll happen. My prayer for you is for you to make the decision and say, God, I want to make a decision. I want to see things through the Spirit as you see it, and then declare it and live it. You know, two people go to the same job. The one people say, oh, this new boss of us is a real pain in the backside, and this is going to be a difficult week. The other guy says, thank God we have a boss, because that means we have a job. Which one of the two is going to have the more successful week? It's because it's the same boss that worked for both of them, but it's their attitude. So if we are the priests, let's make today the change and say, God, we decide. We decide that we will have a great future. We decide that our children will become godly people. We decide that our children will become successful in what they do. Not because of what we do, because of what we do in terms of our position as priests. We decide that this church will grow. We decide that the youth will stand up and be the forefront of a revelation and just a new felt fire for God. We can decide those things because God has said those are the things that we have that He has planned for us. So let's do that. We can decide whether we want to live with this cancer and be in depression about it, or we can decide, God, I decide to live in victory. It's as simple as that. It's really, you know, a lot of the computers, it says, what you see is what you get. And for us as Christians, all we need to say is, God, through spiritual eyes, let me see, because what I see is what I will get. And if I see the bad boss, let me not see the bad boss, let me see the opportunity. If I see my work might be in jeopardy, let me not see the fact that there might be retrenchments. Let me see as, this is great, God, because the next opportunity can only be better, because that's your word. We are growing. It's in fulfillment. We're just going forward. If we see our child struggling with maybe maths, say, thank you, God, because maybe this is a sign that he should be doing something else, maybe languages or whatever. Let's not just look at the things that happen around us and take it as fact and say, that is the end of it. But the important thing is we need to start declaring these things. It starts with a declaration. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love to talk will have to eat their words. The tongue. So let's start declaring the things that we believe God is going to come through for us. Let's not be silent about it. Let's stand up and say, God, I will have the conviction to tell Warrior about my new job application. Although I might not have got the job yet, but let's start believing and talking about the things that we believe is going to happen. If we confess the word, in Romans 4 verse 17 to 24, this is, if we confess the word in six things, we confess the word in faith, we confess the favor of God, we confess healing, prosperity and provision and protection and righteousness. And honestly, church, if we don't start confessing these things, it will not happen. If we don't start confessing health, how will we pray for people to get healed? If we don't start professing prosperity or protection, it's not going to happen. Because we have to declare God, as God said, let there be light. We need to declare these things because our declaration will come from faith. This is a scripture that I think a lot of us have seen, but let's just look at a few issues. As scripture says, I have made you a father of many nations, Abram, believed when he stood in the presence of God. God who gives life to the dead people and call into existing things that don't even exist. This is our God, calling existent things that don't even exist. When there was nothing left to hope for, this is awesome. You know, it's easy to hope if you have people around you that are strong in faith. And they just, it's contagious. But look at Abram. When there was nothing left to hope for, Abram still hoped and believed. As a result, he became a father of many nations, as he had been told. Abram didn't weaken, though faith he regarded the facts. His body was already as good as dead now that he was about 100 years old, and Sarah was unable to have children. He didn't doubt God's promise out of lack of faith. Instead, giving honor to God, he became strong because of faith. He was absolutely confident that God would do what he promised. If you look at Abram's situation and think about your own, Abram saw the limitations. He's 100 years old. Things just don't work if you're 100 years old. But God made him a promise. I don't know how old Sarah was, but she was also no spring chicken. And he might have looked at this and said, man, things are just not going my way in this reason or this thing. But he never doubted the promises of God. And he was fully confident that God will do what he said he will do. Church, let us have confidence in God coming through with the promises he made for us. Let's not look at what happens out there. Let's not look at the government. Let's not look at our friends that fail us. Let's not look at the fact that we might know a minister and the minister said, Francois, don't worry, I'll look after your problem. Let's not look at that. And all of a sudden the minister is not there anymore. Say, God, what now? Let's not look at somebody that has said, not to worry, I'll when you don't have a job, you come and speak to me. Let's not look at those things. Let's look at God's promises for us this morning and say, God, as Abram, and it's not, this portion of scripture is just, he says, he became strong because of faith. He didn't need the faith to become strong. No, that's not right. He became strong because of faith. It was other people that gave him faith and then he said, okay, that's easy to have faith. Faith was the one thing that he held on to and say, this is what I promise, this is what I believe God for. Let's do that this morning. Whatever we struggle through, let's take it from there and say, God, this is not me, this is not my words, this is your words. And I will have faith, irrespective of what happens. Whether I lose my job today, think about it this way. If you need, I don't know, just use an example. If you need $10,000 to come through for a month or 2 months, and you lose your job now, you say, God, where am I going to get $10,000? If somebody, and he says, I'll send somebody, and this guy gives me $15,000. What does it matter if you have a job or not? God has seen to your needs for that month. Because the next month might be the month that he says, he has a job for $50,000. So look at it this way and say, don't limit God in terms of, say, God, this is what I need. And if I can't see this happening in reality, then, young, I don't know if I should go through with this faith thing. No. Say, God, you know what I need, and I'll take it from you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay, then the favor. There's a lot of scriptures. Psalm 5:12, it says, you bless righteous people, O Lord. Like a large shield, you surround them with your favor. Psalm 23 says, he prepares a banquet for me while my enemies watch. I mean, that's really putting your enemy's nose in the thing. He prepares a banquet while the enemies are watching. This is the God we serve. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. If we have peace and not disaster, in terms of those first questions that are asked, that would be the successful. That's what I want to know. I don't want to know whether I'm going to have money, but if I can say, God, I have peace, and there's no disaster, then I know I'm taken care of. Because for me to have peace, it means that all the other things need to be in place. For me not to have a disaster means that all my worries are taken care of. That's what I want. I don't want to know these other things. These are the things that I want to say, God, now I can carry on. Healing. I mean, there's just so many scriptures. He says in Psalm 107, 20, he said, He sent His message and healed, messenger and healed them. John 10:10 says, A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that my sheep will have life and so that they will have everything that they need. That means health as well. If you pray for healing, this is in closing, okay, just to, I'll come back to this. In terms of prosperity, there's a lot of scriptures about prosperity. To go back to Isaiah 54:2, it says, Expand the space in your tent, stretch out the curtains of your tent, and don't hold back. It means that we need to prepare for these things. If God makes a promise, we need to prepare for it. Don't say, if you're a farmer, and He says, invest in cattle, or this is going to be a bumper year for crop, start sowing, preparing the field. It's going to be pointless if you do it half measure. It's going to be pointless if you say, God, I looked at the weather report, and the rain is not going to be that great, so I'm just going to prepare half the field. What is that all about? But we do that with God. If he makes us promises, but in terms of our preparation for this promise, we do it half-baked. Doesn't work that way. If He gives us a promise, let's go out full and do this. When we pray for healing, when you pray for anything, see in the Spirit. You know, and I can say this because I was there. I've prayed for many people, and I said, I will pray this, but man, I don't see this happening. And then you'd like to shield your eyes and you just pray. Because you don't, it just doesn't. If you pray for something, see this person stand up out of their crutches. That is what we need to see. If you want to pray for your job, if you want to pray for the success, if you want to pray for a meeting, already see the outcome in this meeting. People stand up shaking your hand saying, well done, this is what we're going to do. If you pray for a job interview and you see God in this thing, pray and see in your mind them saying, here's your appointment letter. Don't pray for something that there's no ways that you can't even see it for yourself. Because then it's pointless. You're not doing anything out of faith. Step in and say, God, I take You on Your word. I don't have to understand Your word, but I take it as it is. And then the righteousness. Declare our righteousness. We said we are dead to sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God, at Christ, who was sinless, take our sins so that we might receive God's approval through Him. Proverbs 12:28, it says, everlasting life is on the way of righteousness. Eternal death is not along its path. The law condemns the best of us. Grace saves the worst of us. So let's just say to God this morning, God, thank You for the fact that we are righteous. And because we are righteous, there's nothing that we can do. You don't pray. You don't read the Bible to get God's favor. You already have God's favor. You read the Bible to understand God's nature. You read the Bible to become more in love with God. Us reading the Bible, this is what I understand. If fast and prayer is good, but fasting and praying is not going to stir up something in God and saying, I owe these people. We already have this. Remember, we're righteous. Fast and praying is just narrowing our own mind so that we will not get distracted in terms of what happens out there and we can focus on God. If we pray for something, if we pray for favor, in terms of the favor we already have, it's just declaring to God, God, we are trusting you for this thing. So understand it that way. You know, I never read as much Bible as I did through exam times, but I never understood this. And I thought me reading the Bible might give, you know, might just put something, a smile on God's face and maybe give me favor with that answer or this answer. I just missed the point because I was so in the law to say I have to do something about this. It was never like that. I wish I understood this way then. It was, I already had it. I should really just read the Bible and say, this is the nature of God, that He will do something unconditionally. So, in closing, we are finished. But I would like us to, we said that all this starts with a declaration. And a declaration is something that somebody praying with you, that can start the declaration process. So we are actually finished with the sermon. But I want to invite you. I don't know, Eddie, are you guys going to play a song or something? You have. So you can come up so long. But I would want to ask you guys, if you want to make a fresh start, if you want to say, God, today is the day that I'm going to change around and I'm going to take your opportunities and I'm going to take your word and I'm going to step out in faith, we'll be here to pray with you. And just to say, God, in unity we agree with this. But I and whether you take it, do it now, or whether you take it home with you, all I ask of you is make the change. Make right there where you are. Just say to God, God, it's all about you. So let's just pray before we start. Our Father, we just want to thank you for just being so fantastic, gracious towards us, Lord. We just want to thank you for your word, Lord. We just want to thank you for the fact that we are dead to sin, Lord. And we can really start this process to know that we just need to step out in faith and just take your words and your promises as you've given it to us, Lord. And that your true nature is that of love and that of goodness. And Lord, and thank you that we know that we have forgiveness for our misconceptions, Lord. We have forgiveness for making your gospel something that it was never. It was never destined to be that way. And a lot of people are still bound by these things, Lord. But thank you that we can start this morning. We can start afresh and say, Lord, just keep on renewing my mind that I understand these things, Lord. Just keep on renewing my mind that I will accept these things and I will take it for myself, Lord, because I know that the future out there is not a future where I have all the answers. It's the future that I have the assurance of my inheritance in you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just before you start, I want to... there was a TV program. This thing really shocked me. There was a TV program... on TV, and the guy was Frank Robinson, and this, it was a church. They put an advertisement in the paper and say, healing, you can come for healing, and the Broadcasting Commission in South Africa actually told them they need to withdraw this article, and it's just how the devil works. So you could look at this and say, well, this is the devil at work, but if there was 100,000 people reading the newspaper, there were 700,000 people seeing the TV program. Okay, so this is the God just turning around what the devil has done. The devil thought, I'm going to get these people to withdraw the advertisement, but now that this thing is on TV, everybody knows about it. But anyway, so they were talking, so this guy, so they got this pastor in, and they said to him, well, you know, what's this ministry and healing? And he said, no, this is God working. And then they thought that the TV guys thought they'll be clever, and they went to the theological faculty. What's that in English? Theology department in South Africa, And they asked this professor, and this to me was a shocker. They asked this professor and say, you know, we read the Bible about healings and miracles. What do you say about this? And this was a professor in one of the traditional churches. And he said, today there is no more miracles. Today there is no more healings. That was just in Jesus' time. And I looked at this and I thought, my goodness. And then they asked this pastor, said, well, pastor, what do you say about this? And he said, well, I hear what this professor says, but nobody can argue with the facts. And he pulled out this file and he says, the first issue, this is the blood test of somebody that was HIV positive. He has the new blood test healed. He has photograph of somebody that got acid in their face, completely blind. New photograph. This guy can see. And he just went on like this. And this is God. This is God. So irrespective of what people say out there, let us not judge the situation in terms of what they say to us. Let's judge what God promised us. Okay. Amen.
Hallelujah, you have come to me.